Source Elements on the Mic, a brand new weekly series of conversational but thought-provoking podcasts with Mike Ayton, leading voiceover artists, post-production mixers, and music engineers. A heady mixture of audio opinion, observation, learning, philosophy, reminiscence, and downright humour. Muse, audio, and remote working with Mike and his guests. Stay well connected and treat your ears to Source Elements on the Mic.
Hello and welcome to Source Elements on the Mic with Mike Ayton. Today my special guest is Tania Posick. Not to be confused with Tania Pusick, as Apple Autocorrect tried to write when I wrote my script. Apologies for that introduction, Tania. That's probably the worst introduction you've ever had. It can only get better.
That's probably the worst one I've ever had. I'm not going to lie.
It can only get better from here.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay. And how's the weather in Southern California today?
Well, usually beautiful. Today, also beautiful, but in a different way because there's some rain.
Well, if it's any consolation, it's grey, overcast, and dull as hell in London today. But anyway... Never mind. We shall make entertainment on the internet.
Yes, we will.
Okay, to start off with, I'm going to start with our quickfire question round for a warm-up, which is called, what's your source? So treat it as a game show.
Okay.
And you've got 3 to 5 seconds to answer all the questions. And if you can't answer a question, say pass. And if you want to have two answers, by all means, fill up your 5 seconds with two answers.
Okay.
That's fine by me. Okay.
I am so nervous right now.
No pressure. Okay, Tania, start a round for 10. Fingers on buzzers, no conferring.
Okay.
Okay, your favourite biscuit or cookie?
Chocolate chip.
Okay.
And if it has a walnut in it, I'm happy with that as well.
Favourite book?
I like Catcher in the Rye.
Ooh, inspired. Mac or PC?
Mac.
Starter or pudding?
Starter.
Analog or digital recording?
Digital.
Okay. If you were listening to music, do you prefer to listen on vinyl or CD?
Well, both, but vinyl sounds better.
Okay. Do you play a musical instrument?
I don't, which makes me sad.
Oh, okay. There's always the future. Yeah.
There's always another life.
Yeah. For now, we'll just play the fool. Yes.
That's right.
Or blow our own trumpets. How about that?
Yes.
Okay, what's the most recent music that you purchased?
Well, it's actually just a track for something that I choreographed. So it wasn't of my own. And I don't even remember what it's called. So there you go. Not very often.
That one by Thingamajig. Yeah.
That one. Yeah. You know that one, right, Mike?
Yeah, I got that one. It's on the Triple Life Platinum album. Take a hike, Marsha.
That's right. That's right.
What's the most recent software that you purchased?
I don't know if I remember something other than Source Connect that I pay for every month.
What a wise choice.
I know.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
I don't know. Probably, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I have any photos with anybody. I feel like I see celebrities all the time in LA, and I should know this, but I don't.
Okay,
yes.
We'll move swiftly on that one. If you go away for a holiday, do you prefer mountains or beaches?
Beaches.
What are your preferred headphones?
I have the Beyer Dynamic 770s, and I love them.
For a weekend break, do you prefer city break or the countryside?
I think I like the city for a weekend.
Okay. What's your most hated colloquial phrase?
YOLO.
YOLO, what does that mean? Sorry, that's a new one on me.
It's you only live once, but it's a little bothersome.
Okay. Yes, I would definitely punch them for saying that. It has to be said. What's the last film that you watched?
I watched Return to Oz, which is a childhood favourite.
Okay. Which famous person, alive or dead, would you most enjoy a night out with?
Michelle Obama.
Oh, interesting. Who would you most like or like to have recorded or worked with?
Oh, wow. I feel like Tom Hanks.
Favourite actor? Would that be Tom Hanks?
No, but I don't know, maybe. I just feel like Tom Hanks is so epic. You would learn so much from him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. Okay, that finishes our quickfire question round.
Oh, great.
What's your source? So, Tanya, let's talk about you.
Okay, let's do it.
So we know you're based in Los Angeles. Presumably, are you freelance?
Yes, yeah.
And you have your own studio?
Yeah, at home. It is a woman-made studio. It is a walk-in closet that I have converted into a studio.
Perfect. It seems to work very well.
Yes, yes, it has worked great. It has been very interesting over this pandemic, for sure.
If you have to go to work in another studio, is there a particular studio you prefer and why?
Oh, I have several that I love in the area. I don't know if I want to say names. Do we say names?
If you'd like to, you're free to compliment people.
Okay, so in my close area, we have Real Voice LA, we have Studio Awesome, we have Patches Sound, Lime in Santa Monica, Sound On Studio. I love these studios because the people are so amazing and so nice. The engineers are so great. I feel like I walk in and the energy is so good. And I love that.
Okay. So it's a vibe thing for you.
It is. But, you know, I have no complaints. There are zero complaints when I record. I think everyone's got their stuff together. And on top of that, I get to say hi to friends. It's pretty fantastic.
What better way can you have than to work with friends?
That's right.
Source Elements.
How would you describe your job to those who know the industry well?
Well, right now I feel like I'm in a padded room all by myself all day long. But we all know everyone who's in the voiceover industry is so hardworking and it's filled with ups and downs. You know, there's so many auditions and bookings, but I feel like we can all vibe together in saying that it's ever changing. It's an ever changing industry and you have to sort of keep up with the times.
So how would you describe your job to someone who doesn't know your industry well?
I would say the same. And on top of that, just add that is so much fun. The people are so great. It's so wonderful to be in a creative job and to use your voice. It feels so satisfying to do that.
Source Elements.
I noticed from your website that you've worked as a dancer.
Yeah.
Or still
yeah,
do.
Yeah, still do.
And a choreographer. So when I was interviewing Emily Blank, who still does mix Game of Thrones, we were talking about this thing of dance being the ability to be able to be flexible and dynamic, but also it's interpretive. And so my question was, do you think being a dancer has helped your voice career?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I feel like, you know, what I teach my dancer students is that even if you are not a dancer, you don't do this as a profession later in life, you're always a dancer. The lessons that you learn stay with you forever. It's just, like you said, the taking direction, being flexible, and also being creative in it, and you are a character when you're dancing, in a way. I feel like when it comes to voiceover, timing is something that dancers are really great with, and I feel like has helped tremendously. But mostly for me, at least, in taking direction, I know as a teacher, I expect a lot out of my students, and we're changing all the time because sometimes we're performing with less people and more people, and you just kind of have to learn to adjust. And I feel like it's very similar in the voiceover industry. You just have to learn to adjust. And if that's not something you're good at, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, you know, to kind of stay long.
So you think you're quite receptive to being directed effectively. And also, I think the interesting your point about timing as well, because she said being a dancer and her sense of timing was very important, because she said part of moving the faders and the knobs and the switches with respect to the picture and timing, it's a performance. And having good timing means you can do one rehearsal, bang, you got it. You can do the same thing again. Or you can do two or three things at once and know what the fourth thing is coming up, because that part of your brain is developed that thinks sequencing.
Yes, timing and doing multiple things at once, right? You're moving your legs, your arms, your head, your everything. You're blinking. When I've done dubbing, I have felt that a lot, you know, because there's a certain time and you have to watch the lips flapping and you have to say your words at the same time and you're reading them off the screen and sometimes you're hearing it in another language or whatever it is. It feels like multitasking. It's also very satisfying for me as a dancer in the voiceover world. I enjoy that sort of challenge.
Because effectively, it's the sense of performance, isn't it, that you identify with? Mm-hmm. And you're tiptoeing your way around a dodgy director. that's a very poor analogy. But speaking of which is my bad segue into what you were talking earlier about your sense of direction. So you take direction well and you're adept at taking critique.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's what makes you a good actor. You know, even if it's not going to be the last take, to at least try something to see if it works, I think that's important. And I know, you know, on the flip side of that, as a choreographer, you have these ideas and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I'm sure directors are the same. Sometimes they have these ideas and they either work or they don't. But to be working with someone who's able to work with you and at least try with you, I think that's important in a team.
Yes, indeed. There's a lovely quote by Ben Burtt, the famous sound designer for Star Wars, who said that sound design is about going down 9 wrong avenues to find the 10th one that's correct.
Mm.
That's what makes the really standout sound.
I love that.
It's not having the fear to go wrong 9 times and having the wisdom to know that 9 attempts were wrong, but finding that 10th. And he said experience is about getting to the 10th a bit quicker. That's all.
Ah, yes.
So it's an interesting parallel sort of thought.
Source elements.
Do you like it when sound engineers also sort of chip in? Because some directors or voice artists don't, and they kind of shut up and get on with the engineering, and other people have a more sort of collaborative style.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've been in situations where it's been both. I feel like since I've been at home, you know, there's certain teams that I work with consistently, and the engineer chimes in, and I think it's great because they're seeing the timing on their end. They're hearing different things that I may not pick up on. With certain teams, it just feels more of a collaboration. And so it feels great. I don't mind it.
Okay.
Source elements.
When you're working in another studio, do you prefer open or closed talkback between takes?
It's usually closed. And I don't mind that. I don't need to, you know, it's not something that I need to listen to. But sometimes it's nice to hear just because you're like, oh, they're just talking about something that has nothing to do with, you know, my performance or anything like that. So it's kind of like a relief.
Discussing the football game tonight.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a relief because sometimes you'll be kind of on hold for quite a while and you're going, oh gosh, you know, I hope this is going well. And it really has nothing to do with you at all.
I found it quite an interesting question from the respect that some people have a sense of, I've just done a performance, I kind of need to rest and think and reflect. And I actually like to switch off while they have a little rabbit about with each other in the room about, what do you think about that? I like take 3 the best, you know. And then they like the sense of freedom until it's like, Tanya, can we just do one more that does a bit more there? And you go, okay, well, I've got a clear message. Bang, I know where I'm at. I can do that.
Yep.
And other people kind of sense they like the roadmap way of getting there because they like to hear the background conversation. And that enables them to get to the result faster. I think sometimes I suspect it very much depends on the sense of dynamic within the room.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you know, when it's these one-off jobs where I've never worked with the team before, I'm happy, you know, doing the line and then, like you said, like taking a moment, grabbing some water. And then there's other times with the teams that I work with more consistently. One, I feel like I know them a little bit better, even if I've never met them in person. And just hearing what their thought is, like, oh, you know, maybe we should listen to it with picture, and then I can kind of hear, you know, what they're watching, or maybe I'll see it on my end and I go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And that feels to me like I can do my job better because of that.
Okay. But it's interesting, the difference in the dynamics, and depends on whether you're confident enough within your own space in the work environment in the booth to be able to say, mm-hmm. it's okay to have silence for a while.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Yeah, it really is.
They need thinking time. And some people, I think, are less secure and kind of like, not needy, that's the wrong word, but I have a sense of I need to hear because I want to feel involved, and I feel alone and in the dark and isolated.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a kind of like Schrodinger's paradox. It's both but neither, you know.
Yeah.
there isn't a clear win.
When I'm in a studio, it feels like it's more closed, and that's great. Whereas here at home, I think you're sitting here and, you know, in my booth going, oh, okay, well, it's been quiet for a while.
I'm watching the paint, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different, but yeah, either or, I'm happy. It is nice to take a break sometimes.
Source Elements.
Okay, let's talk about you and your background. Mm-hmm. How did you start in the industry?
Well, I was looking for an on-camera commercial agent about 7 or 8 years ago now. That's because, you know, I was a dancer transitioning, and I knew I was sort of not going to do dance full-time anymore. And I was like, you know what? On-camera seems like a good sort of transition. And when I interviewed with an agency, they signed me, you know, for on-camera commercial work and for voiceover. And I was just elated. I was like, yes, this is so amazing. I've always wanted to do voiceover.
Yeah. I got one. Yeah.
I had a couple friends that did voiceover, you know, and I was so curious about it and how one would get started. And it was really one of those things in my life that felt like, yes, this is a win.
Mm.
And then I thought immediately after, I don't know what I'm doing. That was really interesting.
Yeah, fake it till you make it sort of thing.
Essentially, which is, I guess, how a lot of people do, you know, when you change course in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was okay by me. I was so excited to start learning. I kept getting auditions and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just kind of, this is what I think I'm supposed to do. And my agent seemed happy. I mean, I had an open conversation with him about it, saying, I need some guidance. And he was like, no, you're great. You're doing great. And it's been a long road and I've loved it. I really do love voiceover.
So in a way, you've kind of stumbled into it by, to all intents and purposes, thinking you were going to do on-camera work and then seemed to pick up on the voiceover work.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as much as I'd like to say that it fell into my lap, I think also, you know, with your other training and everything, it's really not far from the dance world like we were talking about. And it almost feels like I've been sort of training for this for my whole life in a way. Yeah, I got lucky, I think, with the agent, because I know a lot of people struggle with really presenting themselves for an agent. I know it's hard work getting one. I'm sure even now during the pandemic, it's difficult. So I feel really lucky in that regard.
Yep, that I can understand. So how do you think, as a dancer, you've obviously had to physically train to keep your body in shape for the physical demands. Do you think that's had a sort of an effect on you as a voice artist? Where do you do vocal exercises or have to actively maintain your voice? And do you treat it as a sort of an athletic temple in the same way a dancer treats her body?
Yeah, so I've gone through a lot of, you know, vocal exercises. I try to warm up. One thing that was interesting is that for a while I was teaching a lot of dance and doing voiceover work. And so you could hear it in my voice that I have, you know, some rasp. And that's all because of the teaching.
Because dance teachers do a lot of that sort of semi-shouting and encouragement.
All the time.
Come on. Yes. Kick.
Yes. Yeah. To the point where I do have a cyst in one of my vocal folds. And I had to see a doctor, an ENT, a couple years ago because it got so bad that just having a normal conversation like this was a struggle for me. It felt like my throat was tight. It felt like it was hard to get the words out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through a whole diet change just to figure it out. And
wow, did that really have an effect?
Yes, it really did. And then, you know, I was going to get surgery actually to get it removed for my throat. Then the pandemic hit. And so I actually did not ever get the surgery done. But during the whole pandemic, because I was just working from home, my voice just, my throat just sort of healed.
Because it wasn't being strained by the dancing.
Yes, all of the time. And it's insane how the body starts to adjust when there's constant, you know, blows to your throat or anything else. So and it was kind of miraculous to me. And so I've decided not to get the surgery. But since I started teaching a little bit more in person and I'm choreographing a show right now, I do feel that rasp coming back. But I do feel like I am highly aware when my diet is on point, when I'm resting my voice, when I'm doing my vocal exercises is definitely when I feel the best.
When you're on your A game, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Granted, I am not perfect, and that doesn't happen all the time. But when I really need to, I definitely go there.
Okay. That's very interesting, actually.
The world is a melting pot of ideas. Connect to the global creative village. Collaborate with class-leading synchronization, audio, and picture. Innovative, affordable, and flexible solutions with enviable support. Be a part. Create together. Source Elements.
Part of your sort of discipline and as a dancer has helped your pathway as a voice artist, but also your sense of, as a professional dancer, if you're working professionally within the creative industry, whether it's in acting or whether it's in dancing, there's a sense of you know when it's right to stick your hand up and go, what about this? And you know when it's right to be quiet.
Yes.
There's a sense of knowing the time and a place and a behaviour that's that's right for the occasion and that's professional. You were sort of, I'm wondering if you were alluding to that earlier, that you were sort of saying that when you say you feel like you've been training for this all your life, that's the part of what you've learned to do. You've learned to behave professionally, creatively in front of other people.
Yeah, you know, I haven't put too much thought into that, but I think when you work with people in creative spaces, it transcends from one to another. I find that people in the dance world are fantastic, and I find people in the voiceover world are fantastic. And you know your roles. When you're a choreographer, you listen to people's opinions because they're the ones performing, you know, not you necessarily. And so when you have a dance assistant or something and they have an opinion and, you know, maybe this would work better, it's just collaborative team effort. And although for the most part in the voiceover world, it seems like most of the directors I've worked with, they kind of know what they want, but sometimes they don't. And we'll have to try things. And I go, okay, you know, what if we tried this? And I'm not going to take over the whole session or anything, but there is definitely a sense of, you know, when maybe someone has a half idea and you can meet them halfway.
Yes, or can I take your idea and roll with it further?
Yeah.
Maybe this is what you're after.
Exactly.
Source Elements.
A lot of what you've learned has been sort of learning by experience and the sort of trial by fire, effectively, in your voice career from what you've said.
Yeah.
And do you think that's a good way of learning? And if you had your time again, would you change anything?
Oh, boy. Well, I think that even though I had no experience going into it, I definitely started taking classes after a while, you know, after a little bit.
Okay, so you have done some sort of academic training.
Oh, I have done so many classes. And that is something that I mean, everyone needs to take classes, you know. And with multiple people, I think that's very important to learn from different people. When I first stepped into a booth, I was so nervous. And of course, you know, this was long before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And when you could go take a class in person and you would actually be able to step in a booth, put on some headphones, read the copy from the paper, like I would get nervous every single time until one day I just stopped being nervous. And
what's the worst that could happen? You get it wrong and you do it again.
Right. Yeah. And but that's
the plane is not going to crash.
Exactly. And that's the experience, you know, that I feel like I'm so grateful for. Also, I would never want to go back and be like, oh, man, I wish I took the classes first and then got the agent second. Like, I'm very happy that I had the agent, you know, supporting me before I even had any real experience, because I was able to focus on gaining the knowledge versus trying to get an agent, which is a lot of relief.
Yes, I could imagine for someone who's trying to sort of find the agent, the temptation is I can never find an agent because I'm not perfect yet. I need more classes. And you get in this spinning cycle of need more classes, need to get better. And, and to the point where you're never going to be good enough to get an agent in your own head.
Right. You know? One thing that I tell my voiceover students is, and you know, I hear this all the time from other colleagues, is you take classes first. I mean, you really need the experience first to then make your demo, to then pitch that to the agent. And that would be the quote unquote
traditional route.
Right. The traditional route, which, and then of course, there's people who have crazy stories like, oh, someone heard my voice somewhere and then they hired me for this job, you know, and that's how it became.
Yeah, there's a guy in the UK who's a bit like Don LaFontaine, you know, the film guy who does
Imagine a World.
And he used to work for the Tube in London, and he has this story about, oh, I was spotted because I was saying the next train arriving at platform 4 is for, it's an utter lie.
It's
not actually a true story, but it sounds good. It sounds interesting.
It sounds like a great story.
You know.
Yeah, I'll try that one.
This particular guy was an actor for donkey's years and had been in tons of Amdram things for years and years and years until he got an agent and then, oh, maybe you should do voiceovers as well. Bang, off he was launched and that's his career now as a voiceover guy.
Yeah. I think that's funny.
Sorry, world, to shatter all the illusions. But
let's get back to reality where you have to do the work.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't change anything. And, you know, for me, it always works out where, you know, I'll take a class and I book something and I go, oh, this is good. Like, I'm happy I do this.
Source Elements.
Have you found much variability in the standard and variety of classes that you can take?
Well, now it's so different because it's on Zoom. All of them are on Zoom. Even my straight acting classes on Zoom. It has been an interesting launch into the future. I know a lot of people who have picked up voiceover during the pandemic because maybe they got laid off of work or maybe they had this, you know, epiphany of I need to get out of my job now and do what I love, you know, and have started working towards this new goal.
Yeah, if I don't do it now, I never will. Yes.
Right, exactly. And what's interesting with the Zoom classes is that, you know, I've been in both. I've been in the pre-Zoom era of classes and the post, and I mean, they're both equally great. To be honest, the fact that we're practicing on Zoom is kind of great because this is how a lot of my work is done now, remotely. Mm-hmm. I don't go into a studio very often. I mean, the last time I was in one was, you know, weeks ago, and then before that, months ago. Almost everything I've done has been here at home.
Sure.
And so, you know, when your work circumstance changes, so do the classes.
So you found it quite easy to adapt between changing your academic sort of consumption of education in your workplace environment between being physical to going online.
Yeah.
You've, in the same way you've transitioned your workplace environment to being online, you've transitioned your learning, but you found
right.
you're quite adaptable and it's worked both ways for you.
It's been fine, but I will just say that, you know, it sort of is what it is. You do what you have to do. I mean, some people really don't like it. I'm fine either way, you know, because I'm going to continue doing this. So I have to accept. You can put up a defense, you know, but in reality, like, this is sort of our reality right now. So I'm just kind of going with the flow.
You haven't got any choice.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have a choice. I mean, now I'm starting to see rolling in, you know, when I get sent auditions, they'll be like, oh, you know, if you can do it in person, please specify. If you really want to stay remote, you know, please specify. So there's definitely a little bit more flexibility. And I do know that people are going into studios now. It just seems like companies are, I'm assuming, saving money.
Do you think there's a bias in terms of if you ask to audition remotely, do you think the casting directors or the voice casting directors or whoever it is that's going to hire you have a bias? Or do you think
like
they,
towards whether they want to?
Whether they go, oh, God, she wants to do it online. All right, if we have to.
I don't know, because this is what I was just going to say, is that I'm assuming they save a little money if they hire you to do the work from home, you know, because you don't have to pay
studio time,
a studio and then the engineer. So I'm not too sure. I think there are people in casting or directors that want to be in an office just as much as, you know, some actors. And it's a matter of preference, you know, when it comes to on-camera stuff. I've had a couple auditions in person now. And I remember those CDs saying, oh, we can't wait to see you back in the office. So there's definitely people who have a preference as to what they want.
But you don't necessarily think there's a correlation, or you've not been able to detect a correlation between your success in picking up roles, whether it's voice or on camera or dancing sort of work, between in person and doing it virtually.
Well, when it comes to on-camera auditions, I love the at-home self-tape. I know a lot of people don't. For me, it gives me the ability to really interpret the copy as much as I want to, which is the same with, you know, auditions have been remote for a long time in voiceover, even pre-pandemic. So I was already sort of used to that. The one thing that has been hard to get used to has been actually recording at home, because I was not prepared for that. And some people have a little bit more space at home, you know, and this has been the interesting thing about the pandemic and seeing people's homes and their setups. You know, you have to have the money, and some people don't, or the space. But as far as, you know, on camera stuff goes, I was very quick to, again, purchase all the things that I needed to purchase, and have been loving the self-tape. Auditioning from home has been great. I think there's been some correlation with my booking on-camera stuff with doing it from home, because I'm able to be a little bit more creative, whereas sometimes you step into an audition and, you know, there's a person with a camera and they go, okay, slate, okay, do the line. And maybe you've just gotten the line, so you didn't know it beforehand and you don't really know what the spot is about.
And they're telling you, can you be a bit more Brechtian? And you're thinking, Brecht,
right.
Was he like Ibsen? Yeah, I think so.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes they're like, okay, you're driving. And I'm like, you know, you're just, it's a different space. And some people really succeed at that. For me, I prefer, you know, to set up my space in the way I want to, in the most creative way that I can, so that I can deliver it the best I can. And, you know, same thing with auditions at home. Like, I think that's the benefit of having, I've been auditioning from home basically since I started.
So in a way, it's not actually new for you.
Not the auditioning, no. I mean,
no.
I would rarely go to in-person auditions for voiceover. There definitely were some, but I, you know, I'd go to my agency's office, or I would, you know, go to some casting place. Those were not very often. All of my bookings were in a studio. And
yes,
I do miss that, because when you're home, you know, like we were talking about, we have the dogs and the kids and the this and the that, and there's distractions. And every single time I'm going, okay, do I have everything connected into my laptop? Am I missing something? Is my iPad charged? You know, there's a lot more going on, and I would prefer to just focus on the thing.
Yeah, you're wearing a variety of hats because to a degree you're having to be a sound engineer. You're having to be self-critical and self-directing to a degree and go, is that the best I could have done for myself? Do I have a better idea? And sometimes self-critique is, I think, sometimes harder. And there's a lovely adage in the world of sound mixers, you know, my world, where we say mixes are never, ever finished. They're merely abandoned due to transmission. Mm. And the day where you go, I couldn't have done anything more to that scene, is the day almost you want to hang your hat up and go, I've lost the plot.
Yeah.
I've run out of ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, to anything, you could always do more, given more time, more money, more budget.
Of course.
I could make it better. Well, I could have one more crack at it.
I think with any art, it doesn't ever have to be finished. You could work on a piece of art forever and ever and ever and ever and develop. I mean, there is a point where you just go, okay, I think this is finished. You could always pick it up again and do some more, you know?
I've often wondered if Sting ever sits there and goes, yeah, that's quite a good song. I'm done. Next. Yeah. When do we stop?
Does Sting stop?
Stop. Yeah, when he's stung. Yes. That's my new joke for the day. Not bad for off the cuff.
I like it. It was quite good.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Source Elements.
Okay, so we've sort of been touching on the pandemic in a way, and we've been seeing that it has affected your work in that your auditioning, for instance, is pretty much all virtual now, and most of your actual work is now virtual.
Yeah.
How do you see working in post-pandemic times, if indeed there will ever be post-pandemic? Is there a brave new world coming where people are saying, you know what, actually, Tanya, we don't need you to come into the studio. I like, you can give me a great setup from what you do. That works really well. We don't have to drive into, we can sit in our suburbs and in our swimming pool and direct on the phone or whatever we, you know. That's an awful image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not that I'm cynical.
Well, you know, I find that to be such an interesting question, because there are people who I think in this pandemic are just dying to get back to whatever was before the pandemic. I get it. But also, we've gone through this pandemic and we are changed because of it. And I don't think there is ever a going back. And there is only
the new forward.
What's next? The new forward, which is this for right now. And I do think that this is going to be a format that stays, just because, I mean, are you saying we all bought all of this equipment and then we're just going to abandon it? I don't feel
and
like
go
that.
Go back to the old way? I don't think so either. Yeah.
I just don't think that can happen. Now, I think with animation and with group reads, I do think that eventually that will go together back to studios, just because chemistry, and it's easier. But yeah, I know tons of people on animated series who are working from home.
It's hard to be in a band when you're separated. Yeah.
Right.
But it can be done.
It has been done. And that's the crazy thing, is that that's what we've seen over the last year and a half or whatever long it's been now. We've had to make it work. And even though it might not be the easiest after this is all is said and done, which we don't know when that is, that just might be what people are used to.
I suppose there's a parallel here, in the same way that if you think of Andy Serkis's roles he's had, where he's done a lot of those sort of animatronic type things, like Planet of the Apes, where he's had his face mapped with all the little white dots and his body movements.
Right.
And he's acted in scenes on his own with all sorts of other things that he just had to imagine.
Right.
And it's all been put together. And that the strength of his performance is quite sensational when you think it's like singing half of a duet without the other half. And he's had to imagine who he's singing harmony with. And that blows my mind, because I'm not a performer, but so it's even more incredible.
It is incredible to think about. It makes acting harder, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe being in your own little world where you're imagining everything makes it easier. You know, you don't have to deal with an actual person, and who knows? I mean, mocap, I think, will be in a place forever. Like, you have to go to the studio for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of these things, like doing commercials, voiceover commercials from home, I think that's going to probably stay. Whether or not I like that, I'm not sure. I mean, part of me goes, I didn't have Source Connect. I got it early pandemic.
Oh, you're an early adopter?
Oh, yeah. Like, the moment everything was like...
We like the cut of your gym.
Yeah. They're like, things are going to shut down. I was like, you know what? I'm going to prepare. And I really went through this whole ordeal where I prepared as much as possible before anything shut down.
Yeah.
It was one of the smartest things I did, just because I know there was a shortage in certain, like, you know, microphones. It was really hard to get certain microphones. It, you know, there was just all sorts of issues. But so I was happy to be prepared in that way. I lost my train of thought, but...
Platform 3, yeah. Yes.
I'm like, what am I talking about? Yeah.
You were talking about you being prepared and being an early adopter of Source Connect.
I wouldn't have been here sitting with you, you know, from my home. Like, it's really easy to just pop into my workspace here and just go, oh, I'm working remotely with a person in wherever, you know, and... That's pretty freaking awesome.
Contrary to popular belief, I am a person.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
I'm not an AI robot asking questions.
Right. Yet. Thank goodness. Yeah. And I find that to be fascinating. And when you think of childhood thoughts going, what does the future look like? I mean, I'm kind of living that, right?
You're living the dream, effectively.
Yeah, I don't think I...
Or on the journey of the dream.
On the journey of the dream. And this is what this is currently. And who knows what's going to happen later. But yeah, this is an interesting way to work. I find it fascinating. I find it amazing that we can still be creative. I think that it's amazing that we can still create something despite the hardships that we've been through and how separated we are. It's amazing.
Source Elements.
At Source Elements, we have a philosophy that when we're apart, making things together helps us stay connected as human beings and creates a bond. How do you feel about that as a statement?
Yeah, 100%. I think when we talk about not feeling alone, you know, even though we are alone, it's just, we know that so many people, or, you know, we should know, that so many people are going through the same things or have gone through the same things that we have. Mm-hmm. I think if you have a moment to really think about that when you're feeling alone, it really makes you feel less alone. So just making things together, as you said, you know, and being connected, like you and I are pawns away. And here we are.
Yeah, we're 4,000 miles apart, if not five.
Yeah, yes. Having...
Yeah, we're joined by 200 milliseconds.
Right. I mean, we're having a conversation in real time. I love that. I really, truly do. And I truly think that for artists, at least, it is how to stay connected. Like, even though we are apart, I feel like staying connected is so important. You know, we were talking about, you know, during this whole pandemic that, like, I feel like we were so isolated, and yet we were all sharing this thing of not being together, and we were able to still make art. People were still able to work in voiceover, create things and share them on the internet, whether it's Instagram or via text or whatever, and collaborate. And, you know, you saw a lot of collaborations. I don't know if you saw the Ratatouille TikTok musical.
No, I missed that one.
I did.
That little gem. Yeah.
It was fantastic. And I actually cried, I think, because in that time, it was just one of these crazy things that would only happen in a pandemic. I don't know another time when it would have happened. Like, these things will blossom. And it was a full-on amazing production via Zoom, and it was amazing. And those are the things that make you feel like
all the Zoom orchestras and things that have happened.
Yes.
No one would have had the energy or the impetus to have ever done that before, yet these connection tools were all available before the pandemic.
I know.
No one had the imagination to step out and go, I'm going to do that because I can, and it's new and it's different.
Yeah.
It's like the situation created the art. A new art form, which is about exploring what we've been able to do but haven't seen it as a possibility.
Right, and that is so interesting. It makes you think, well, what other things are we missing out on right now? You know, because we're looking for things that are the color red, but there's also other things that are colored yellow around us that we just are not paying attention to.
Pink is the new red.
Yeah. Pink is the new red. Millennial pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I do feel like these collaborations do help us.
I think in a way it's been the start, not the end, the pandemic.
Ah, that's fantastic. I love that.
Boy, I'm trying to get profound on a Friday night.
Yeah, you really are very profound.
I should eat less biscuits. So how do you think your clients find working remotely? We've discussed how you found it and your creative experience and also your emotional connection with being able to create and being able to talk to idiots in London on a podcast, for instance, on a Friday morning for you, Friday night for me. But how do you think your clients have found it? What's your feedback and experience of that?
Well, things have all seemed to go well on the jobs that I've done. I don't think I've had any big mishaps, thankfully. I'm sure they have the same concerns that I have, you know, which is, oh gosh, I hope our connection is great, or, you know, I hope I'm able to direct them from here. But I think we're all getting used to it, at least with certain clients. I've never met them before. I've worked with them for years, some of them, and they're all in other cities. So we've used Source Connect, you know, for a long time. When I was in the studio, I just happened to be in a studio. I think it depends on the person again. Yeah, I've definitely heard some dogs and crying on their end. The great thing about them on their side is that they might be, oh no, like that seems unprofessional, but at least it's not being recorded.
Yes.
On my end, it's like, oh, it's unprofessional. And also I have to record this. So really fingers crossed that I don't hear any, you know, anything or have any distraction.
You have a family, I take it.
Well, I actually live by myself, but I live in a house where I have a dog. I live in a duplex, and so there's neighbors upstairs, and they have children and dogs, and
there's a whole world outside. Yes,
and there's a whole world outside, and so it can get interesting when you're about to log in and you hear a huge thump or something, and you're just going, please.
I always see now's the time they want to use the pile driver, just when I'm doing my whispering love scene.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, great, what are timing. They doing? Bowling upstairs? I don't even know. But for the most part, it has been great.
Have you found clients tolerant of when things haven't been quite perfect on that front?
Yeah. So usually I'll take my dog to my mom's house so that I can have like a clear, if I have many bookings or if I have something that's like, I know is going to be quiet or something, because you just never know. And so I'd rather not have my dog here because I feel like, oh, there just is that possibility that she could bark and I don't want it. So I'll take her to my mom's house. But there have been times where I've had her here and, you know, I've just told the clients like, hey, I wasn't able to take my dog anywhere, so she's here. And they seem to be understanding because I think they are dealing with the same exact thing on their end.
Yeah. In the same way, people have learnt to not wear pyjamas in meetings.
Right.
And we've all...
least not up top, right?
Yeah, we've all learnt to adapt. And we've all seen the hilarious videos where wives or husbands or whatever have walked in their whatever, looking for their, what, my trousers in it. Oh, you're on a Zoom meeting. Oops.
Right. No. Yeah. Oops.
We've all had those moments. Yeah.
And I think, again, it is what it is. We're all human. I mean, I hope that the clients have been satisfied with the work that I've done. You know, we've always gotten things done.
Well, they keep coming back.
They keep coming back. So that is good.
That's the important thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, I mean, even on their end, I've heard stuff. You know, you hear sirens and honking and dogs and kids and spouses. Yeah. And you know what? I think at this point, I live in Los Angeles. There's a ton of studios that I could go to. So if they really, really wanted to, they would book a studio for me if it really came down to it, I think.
Yes, push comes to shove. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how the people with beer income sometimes have champagne taste.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to pay for the studio, but they expect utter studio quiet.
Right.
Ironic, that.
It really is.
Source Elements on the Mic was recorded using Source Connect.
Here, more Tanya Posick abilities. Who writes this? On episode 8 of Source Elements on the Mic, the global remote working and totally puntastic podcast where savvy ears graze.
Source Elements.